Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Nazir Daf Tes Vav. We begin at the Mishnah, which is line 6 from the top of the Amud. We're going to discuss once again a Nazirus within another Nazirus. So a fellow gets up and says like this, Hareini Nazir, the Gesheheli Ben. Upon the birth of my son, Ezus Hashem, I will be a Nazir to thank Hashem, to celebrate the occasion. Number two, in addition to that, I will also be a Nazir for 100 days. V'Nazir Me'ayim. Okay? So, first commitment is 30-day Nazirus upon birth of my son. Number two, I will be a Nazir for 100 days, and he'll start that today. Okay, because until his child is born, he may as well begin counting the 100-day Nazirus, and perhaps he has to keep the 100-day Nazirus starting from today, but really it's second priority. So what happens is that as soon as the son is born, he has to stop. He has to take a pause, take a break. Nerdly ben, when a son is born, so ad shivim, well, it depends when this happens. Because as Tosis explains, if the 30-day Nazirus upon his son's birth is fully enveloped, is fully overlapped within the longer Nazirus, then it can be absorbed within, and he doesn't have to count it separately. All he needs to do is keep 100 days of Nazirus, and he's yotze both commitments. So it depends when the child is born. Neiladoi ben ad shivim, if son is born up until day 70, including day 70, in which case, theoretically speaking, if you would start a 30-day Nazirus on that day, it would culminate at the conclusion of the 100 days. It would not spill over beyond 100 days. So it's fully absorbed within that 100-day period, in which case he loses nothing. He just keeps on counting until he gets to 100 and he can check off both boxes. I have done the 100-day Nazirus. I have done the 30-day Nazirus. But if it spills beyond the 100, la'achar shivim, son is born on day 71, 72, 73, 75. In which case, theoretically, if I start counting 30 days for the son, it spills over and extends past 100. It goes all the way to 105. We cannot apply the same halacha. We have to keep it separate. They identify as two separate, independent commitments, in which case, Seisir Shivim have to cut short, have to stop, have to put a pause on the long Nazirus. We call it, Shivim, the long Nazirus. Move over and keep 30-day Nazirus for my son, and then go back. And as Tosis explains, there's another sort of hidden question that we're trying to answer. Fine, when I go back after the 30-day for my son, why don't I take a haircut for the Nazirus of my son? I can't do that. She'en teglachas pachis mishleishim yoyim, because suppose I only have 25 days left from the long 100-day Nazirus, and I go back to keeping those 25. If I do a haircut before that, that's not enough. I need at least 30 days to let my hair grow back. So bottom line is, if son is born on day 75 of that long 100-day Nazirus, you shift tracks. Do 30 days for the son. Don't take a haircut. Go back and complete another 25 days to conclude the 100-day Nazirus. Amar Rav, listen to Rav's chiddush. Yom Shivim. If son is born on day 70, he's going to end up gaining one day. He's going to end up shaving off one day from his 100-day Nazirus. How's that? Listen to this. Amrav, Yom Shivim, Oyla Lakan Lakan. If son is born on day 70, that day 70, can count both ways. Can be applied as day 70 for the long Nazirus, and also count as day 1 for my son's Nazirus, for the 30-day Nazirus on account of my son's birth. In which case, if we fast forward ahead. We go 30 days down the road. If day 70 is considered day 1 for my son's 30 day Nazirus, so day 70 is 1, day 79 is 10 days, day 80 is begins 11, 89 is 20, 90 is 21, 99 is 30. So day 99 of this long count is considered day 30 of these small Nazirus. In which case, I can shave my hair the following day, because typically you wait, as we learned in the Masechta, we wait until day 31, just in case a guy might undertake to do 30 full days, right? So we don't want to do Miktsas Hayim Kekuli, we don't want to say, part of day 30 counts as though he kept a full day, which is really something we should do. Miktsas Hayim Kekuli, once you enter day 30, you have experienced day 30, that's enough. You can already take your haircut, but just in case a person does say, I'm committing to do full 30 days, in which case he has to wait until the end of day 30. It's Gzeira the Rabbanu, we wait until day 31. But here it's different, says Rav. Here it's totally different. Over here, you can go and cut your hair on day 100. Typically, you wait till day 101. Here, you can do it on day 100. You know why? Because day 100 counts as day 31 of that short Nazirus, which began on day 70. So since you can shave your hair in honor of the conclusion of that short Nazirus, once you can do it for that, we don't hold you back. You don't have to wait another day because of the Gzeira de Rabbanon. If there's a mitzvah to cut your hair today for the short Nazirus, you can cut it even though it's not really, you haven't really achieved a full 100. Even though it's just day 100, not day 101, it's okay. So again, typically, even a 30-day Nazirus, you have to wait an extra day. You have to wait until 30 days are fully done, until 31 to cut your hair. Same thing with a 100-day Nazirus. You have to wait until day 101. Here, one child is born on day 70. Day 70 counts as day 70 for the long Nazirus, but also counts as day 1 of the shorter Nazirus, in which case, if you're 30 days ahead, lands you on day 99 of the long Nazirus, and day 100 of long Nazirus is already day 31. For that short Nazirus, cut your hair. So the Chiddush of Rav is, you can take any given day, in this case it's day 70, and apply it in both directions. It counts as day 70 for that long Nazirus, that ongoing Nazirus, which had already begun 70 days ago. So the first part of that day counts as day 70 for that calculation. The second part of that day, upon the child's birth, that second part of that day counts as day 1 for the new calculation going forward. That's a chiddush. You can split a day into two. So even though you're already on a track, yesterday was day 69, day before 68, and today is day 70 of that system, you can split the day into two and shift gears. Part 2 of this day counts as day 1 for the upcoming Nazirus, in which case, at the end of the whole system, you get a one-day discount. You can cut your hair on day 100 instead of day 101. Tanan, let's go back to the Mishnah and ask a kasha on Rav. What does it say in the Mishnah? Notably, his child was born. Ad Shivim, Leif Sid Klum. If he was born, anytime until day 70, he doesn't lose anything, right? Because, as we said, since there's at least 30 days left to the third, to the long, 100-day Nazirus, and the second smaller Nazirus is totally absorbed into that number, you just count them both, concurrently together, and you don't have to add any more days at the end. According to Rav, you can actually end up gaining a day. You can cut short a day. It guri mitkar. So not only isn't he losing, he's actually gaining. And the Tana should have said so. Guess what? You're gaining a day if your child is born exactly on the right day on day 70. You'll end up cutting your hair on day 100 instead of day 101. Why didn't the Mishnah mention that if that's true? Says the Gemara, you're right. You're right, you're actually getting a day. Mishum d'ktoni sefer, on account of the next part of the Mishnah. Achar shivim, if the child is born, you know, after 70, then you're in trouble. K'soyser shivim, you have to, you know, cut your long nazirus, move over to the short nazirus, and go back to the long nazirus. So the point there is that you actually, you know, you're losing. K'toni reish shivim. So on account of that, the first part of the Mishnah makes reference to a child born up until day 70, including day 70, saying that you don't lose anything. And the point is that we're just contrasting. In one case you lose, in one case you don't lose, but really it's more than not losing, you actually gain, like Rav. Toshma Misefa, we're going to have another kasha from the Sefa of the Mishnah, which says, Noilad Achar Shivim. If a child is born after, you know, past day 70, Soyser Shivim, you have to stop, and, you know, count the short one, go back to the long one. And the question is, according to Rav, why is this so? Even if a child is born at age 71, you're still okay. Why? Because the first portion of day 71 counts, you know, as day 71 towards the ongoing nazirus, right? But the second part of today can count as day 1 towards the new nazirus, in which case it's going to end on day 100. So you're really totally overlapped within the larger count, within the larger 100-day nazirus. So what does the Mishnah say? Anything past 70 gets you into trouble because it's going to extend past the 100 days. It's not, according to Rav, even if it's on day 71, you're still safe, you're still okay in the nick of time, because day 71, even though part of it is already gone, but the second part of it can count as day 1 of that short nazirus, in which case it's going to culminate on day 100 together with the long one. So they're both concurrent, they're both overlapping. You're right, says the Gemara, my achar, and the Mishnah says after 70. That's not 71. Achar, achar means way past 70. After 70, meaning 72. Then it's too late. If you start on 72, you're going into 101. That's already past 100. Aval achar mamish. But if it's just achar, one achar, one day past 70, meaning 71, my, what would happen? Hachar namid leisaser. In this case, you're right. You're saying that no harm was done, according to Rav. Yachi my area, the Tani. No, that shivim lo yifsed klum. So then, why does the Mishnah say the child was born up until 70, you haven't lost anything? The Mishnah should have said a bigger chiddush. Ah, filu achar shivim nami, ha'amras leisaser. Even after 70, even the born child was born on 71, you're not losing anything. Elash mami, no achar mamish. So it's pretty clear from the Mishnah that when it says after 70, you end up losing, it means literally after 70. Born on 71, you're already in trouble. Apparently, we don't hold like Rav. Rather, once you hit 71, that day counts as day 71 to the past, you know, Nazirus, for the ongoing long Nazirus, and it cannot be redirected and counted as day 1 for the new Nazirus. And that's in disagreement of Rav. V'chein masnisen l'Rav Shmamino. In fact, you can bring a Rav in the Mishnah, not like Rav. That's a kasha on Rav. So the question is, where did Rav get this idea? V'Rav keman armo l'shmaiti. Whose opinion was Rav following when he said that the day of the child's birth can be counted in both directions, can be applied to the past Nazirus and to the new Nazirus? Ilem k'abos shol. Perhaps like Abba Shaul, who states presents a similar opinion with respect to Avelus. This is not Hakayveres Mesi. Shloisha Yamim Koim L'Regel. If one was involved in burying his relative, meaning his relative passed away, 3 days before Yom Tov. So as soon as the Kvura happens, the Shiva starts, in which case there's no washing, etc., etc. But then Yom Tov comes along within 3 days. Batla imenu gzeira shiva. So once he kept 3 days of Avelus, he sort of, you know, experienced the more intense portion of the shiva. The Ikara Avelus is the first 3 days. So then when Yom Tov comes along, batla mimenu gzera shiva, the din of keeping a full shiva becomes batla, becomes nullified, cancelled. Yom Tov cancels it. Shmoyne yamim kamin l'regel. Suppose this occurs 8 days before Yom Tov, so he's already 1 day into the shloishim, which has its own restrictions, no hair cutting, etc. So once he experienced some of the shloishim, because he's already on day 8, batla mimenu gzera shloishim. So Yom Tov, which comes along, cancels Shloshim, and that's it. After Yom Tov, he doesn't have to go back to Shloshim. Umut l'saper erev regel, in which case he can take a haircut before Yom Tov. He might see per erev regel, but if he didn't take advantage of this halacha, he didn't shear his hair erev Yom Tov. Asur l'saper achar regel, since he didn't take advantage of this heter, the point is for covered Yom Tov, he didn't tap into it after Yom Tov. It all comes back. He has to keep the shloshim. Abishol, I mean, no, I disagree on two accounts. First of all, it's not dependent upon his behavior. Afidlo lo yisiper koydim regel, mutal lasaper achar regel. Even if he didn't take advantage, he neglected to take a haircut and cut with Yom Tov. It's okay. Yom Tov automatically cancels the rest of the shloshim. He can take cut his hair after Yom Tov. That's one thing. And then he says like this. Because just like when a person keeps the first 3 days of the Shiva, which is a more intense and serious part of Shiva, and then Yom Tov comes along, Yom Tov is mevatel gzera Shiva. Shekashem shemitzvah shloisha mevatelas gzera Shiva. Kach, the same thing with shloisha. Mitzvah Shiva. Isn't it? Mitzvah Shiva. Mevatelas gzera lamed. As long as he kept Shiva. Not Shmoina, Shiva. 7 days of the first Yimei Avelis. And then comes along the Yom Tov. The Gzera Shleshim becomes Batel. Which means that if his seventh day of Shiva fell out of Erev Yom Tov, and then Yom Tov comes along, he... The shloshim is gone, which pretty much indicates to us that according to Abba Shol, this day, Erev Yom Tov, which is day 7 of the Shiva, is considered on the one hand, it's considered day 7 of the Shiva. It's identified as part of the Shiva, and on the other hand, it can also be considered as day 1, towards the shloshim. Right? That's what he's saying. Now, once you get into the 7th day of Shiva, you've already experienced the initiation of the shloshim. In which case, when Yom Tov comes along, it cancels the rest of the shloshim. That's it. After Yom Tov, he's off the hook. My time with Abba Shol. Why is Abba Shol holding this way? Why is the shloshim batel? Lav v'shem dekas savar shvi oyle lekan lekan. Apparently, day 7 of the Shiva period can be counted in both directions. The first part of the Erev Yom Tov counts as day 7 of the Shiva. The second part of the Erev Yom Tov can be counted towards the shloshim coming up. So we find this concept in Abba Shol. One day, the same day, can have two identities. Says the Gemara, no, Dilma, Ad kan lo yikam Abba Shol el bavela zayin derabon. You're right, perhaps, although Abba Shol does seem to hold that the first part of the day can be counted towards the past experience, the second part of the day can be counted as the initiation of the future experience, but that's only by the din of Avelas Shiva, which is midirabon. Taisu says, although min atira, there is Avelas, that's only the first day. V'achrisa ki yoyimar. But everything else is the Rabbanon. So that allows us to apply this leeway. Aval benaziras deraisa. But when it comes to our sugya, another deraisa. Loi, who says you can double tag the day? So this will not provide a source for Rav's chidush. Elo says the Gemara will have to find a different source for Rav. Rav the Amak Rav Yesi. Rav would follow Rav Yesi, who seems to hold of this concept. The Sani al Bresi Yemen. Shemenus Yem Kineged Yem. You have an Isha, as soon as she sees Adam, as soon as she sees blood, she becomes tummy for 7 days. She becomes a Nida for 7 days, irrespective of whether or not she saw more Adam throughout that 7 days. After she's finished 7 days, begin a sequence of days called Yimei Ziva. Halacha being as follows. If she sees Adam one day, she's tummy and she has to be a Shemeres Yom. She has to ensure that the following day is free of any dam. And that free day, that pure day, that clean day, is Kineged Yom, corresponds to the previous day which she experienced, dam. Now, if she's successful, she's free of dam on day two of the Yimei Ziva, she can be Tovel, and she's Tar. Right? Now, it's Erev Pesach, and she would like to have a Karban Pesach. Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom. Shall she show Dam the first day of Yimei Ziva? Let's call it on a Sunday. Dam on Sunday, in which case Monday has to be free of Dam to enable her to be Tar. So she was Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom. She was waiting on that Monday, hoping to be free of Dam. And in fact, it's already, power into the day. So far successful. Shashachtu Vizorku Aleh Basheni Shelo. So they did Shechita, they did Zrika of the Karban Pesach on her behalf. V'achakach Rasa. And to her disappointment on that second day, on that Monday, after she got the Karban Pesach applied, to her account, she saw Dam. Harezu Einai Cheles. So first of all, she's now certainly Tamei. She can't partake in the Karban Pesach. Uptura Melasas Pesach Sheni. But listen to this. She can't either bring a second Pesach, a makeup Karban Pesach in, an ear. Why? Because she had already had a part in this Karban Pesach, because at the time of the Shechita and the Zrika, she was Tar. So although she sees Dam at the end of that day, that's metami her going forward. It's not a retroactive experience. So, until and including the Zman Pesach, she was still tar. Because of Miktas Hayem Kekulit. My time with Rabbi Yossi. What's Rabbi Yossi's rationale? That she cannot bring a Pesach Sheni. Lav Hashem the Kasava. Isn't it because he holds of Miktas Hayem Kekulit? But even though the past days were tummy, and the end of today was also tummy, but since in the morning she was tar, we can break away from her past experience, the initiation, the start of today b'tahara, allows us to count this day as a yom tar for the time being. And although come the end of the day she becomes tummy again, we skip the next few words. My vidilma mishum. It's mishum de kasavar. Tesis as we take it out. Mishum de kasavar mikana labahu matame. It goes together with the fact that we treat the tumah going forward. It's mikana labo. It's not retroactive. So basically, you could take this day, day two of the Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom, and say, look, although part two was betuma, but it doesn't affect her going back. Part one of today was betahara. And the Karban Pesach that was brought on her behalf during that portion of the day is considered her Karban Pesach. So she had a Karban Pesach. She can't eat it anymore. But she has a chelik in the Karban Pesach. Eating is not ma'akev. So she was yoytzei the mitzvah. She can't bring another Karban Pesach later on. So this is Rav Svara. You could take one day and send it in both directions, using the concept of mixes yom kikulei. Says the Gemara, really? Does Rabbi Yossi really hold of this idea? That when one is tummy, it's a tumah going forward, it's not retroactive. V'atanya, listen to this price. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Zav Bal Shtei Riyos. Now we're going over to a man, a Zav, who had an emission of tumah. and he experienced it twice. In which case, he must wash himself the next 7 days, b'tahara, ensure that he's free of any tumor. Sheshachtov zarku olav b'shvi, shaloi. It's his seventh day. He's not yet out of the woods, but he's on track. He's doing fine. It's already his seventh clean day. V'chein shemir Hashem k'negedim, the same thing with the Isha, like we said before, she's awaiting Tahara. So far, so good. The day is so far clean. Sheshachtov zarku olav, in which case they brought a Pesach for her. V'achakach ro, after which suddenly the tables turned, they saw the tuma on that same day. Even though you're meant to know that anything they sat on or lied on, you know, during that day, any couch, any chair, becomes tummy, because the tuma that happened now affects them retroactively. It is a day of tuma. Even something which they touched during the morning, it becomes tummy. So the whole day is considered a Yom Tumah, still in Peturim Melasas Pesach Sheni. You should know, they can't bring a Pesach Sheni. But the bottom line is, it's clear that even Rabbi Yossi holds, a Tumah which occurs 3 o'clock in the afternoon is not considered a Tumah going forward, only it's Metamah L'mafreya, the whole day becomes tummy. It's as though they were tummy from the morning. That's a stira to Rabbi Yossi before. Says the Gemara, Mai L'mafreya Medirabonon. Minat Torah, it's only going forward, it's only midrabanan. We want to avoid, you know, any confusion, and we say, you know what, the whole day is tummy. How can I be mistaver? In fact, I'll prove that it is only midrabanan. But midiraisa, these people are considered tummy until they actually see the tumah in the afternoon. I'll prove it to you. Tisa gedaydach midiraisa, because if you'll disagree, you'll say that it's minat Torah, tummy from the morning. Well, then the other halacha won't work. Am I pturin? Why does Rabbi Yossi say that there's no need to bring another Pesach Sheni, another Pesach? Well, if I saw in the afternoon, I became tummy retroactively from the morning, I was never eligible for a carbon Pesach. The answer is you were. Because minat Torah, you're a Torah until you see again. Says the Gemara, it isn't necessarily a proof, because you can learn Rabbi Yossi slightly differently. You can say, lo'ilam emelach tumah d'oraisa, you can say minat Torah, you are metame from the morning, you are metame retroactively. Why then am I included in the Karban Pesach? Why then am I not obligated to bring another Pesach later on? The answer is because there's something called Tumas Tahoim. We learned this in Mesachas Pesachim. It's a halacha Meshem Sinai, a Tumah which was totally unknown at the time. Doesn't affect a person regarding Karban Pesach. Tahoim de Ziva Hitiru. Over here it's a similar case. You know, come the morning, I was tired, I had no clue I'm going to be tummy that day, and I got the Karban Pesach at that point. It's called Tumas HaTohim, it's like Tumah deep on the ground. It's just a phrase, meaning it's unknown. So there's a heter, there's a special exemption there that I'm considered tired for the time being, and therefore I got a chelik in the Karban Pesach. So perhaps the raya from Karban Pesach isn't necessarily going to prove conclusively that when I see Tumah in the afternoon, Minat Torah, I'm considered Torah in the morning, the Tumah of my phrase only the Rabban. The proof was, from the fact that I can have a Chelik in the Karban Pesach in the morning, well, perhaps there's a special reason for that, because Tumah Satoim. But says the Gemara, V'af Rabbi Yeshua, Sovel Marfrey Med Rabban. Truth is that even Rabbi Yeshua, as well, holds that, according to Rabbi Yesi, a Tumah experienced midway through a day is only going to affect you going forward and not backwards. The Tumah L'mafreya is only the Rabban. Asan Yerabi Yeshayim. Harayim Zoiv B'Shvi'i Shaloi. A person's a Zov, he's counting his 7 clean days, and on his 7th, on the 7th, he sees Tumah. Soyser Eshalafonav. Halacha is, it cancels everything that he counted up until then. The halacha is that those 7 days have to be free and clean, consecutive days. So once he messes up on day 7, everything becomes bottle. He has to start from scratch. Rabbi Yechan says, what do you mean? It only cancels, you know, that day. Day 7 has to be made up. And the Gemara asks, Manavshach, where are you coming from? It's either all or nothing. In Sasar, if a mishap which occurs on day 7 has the ability to cancel, Kulu Sasar, it should cancel all 7 days and start from scratch. Eloi Sasar, if something happens on day 7, does not interfere, then it shouldn't cancel even one day. Rather, Rabbi Yechiel meant to say, you're right. It doesn't cancel even the day of the Riyah. Even day 7 is safe. You know why? Miktas Yom Kikula, because he has already experienced part of that day B'tahara. He only saw the Ziva 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The portion of that day which was B'tahara counts like a full day. And he's already out of his woods, out of the... he's already done his 7 days. V'amalei. And Rabbi Isha tells Rabbi Yechiel, guess what? You're not on your own. Rabbi Yossi kai kavasach. Rabbi Yossi the Tana, that's exactly as you say. You and him are on the same track. The Amar Mekan ulava metami. Rabbi Yossi as well holds. In the case of the Zav, who had the Korban Pesach brought on his behalf, and then he saw the Tumma. Rabbi Yossi says he's potter from Pesach Sheni because it was credited to his account. The Amar Mekan ulava metami because his Tumma only counts going forward. And doesn't affect the Korban Pesach, which was brought on his behalf in the morning. That's exactly as you are saying, Rabbi Yechanan, that anything happening during the day does not affect the first part of the day. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Rabbi Yisi l'mafreyo d'amar. Didn't Rabbi Yisi himself tell us a minute ago that when this happens, you're metame, mishkav, and moishav, l'mafreyo, going back, anything that happened on that day is tame. Oh, apparently, the fact that Rabbi Yishai considered Rabbi Yossi to be following Rabbi Yechanan's rationale, that mixes Yom Kikulei, this indicates that he held. Rabbi Yossi said, it's only a Tumah Durabbanon to avoid, you know, any confusion. If you start the day with Tahara, even if something occurs throughout the day, it's only going to affect you going forward and not retroactively. And there's going to be a riot to Rav. Right? That you can take one day and have part of it go this way and part of it go that way. One more kasha on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, Michti, let's analyze Rabbi Yossi. Savar mitzazim kikuli, right? Even if just part of the day was B'tahara, it counts. If so, Zava Gmura the Maisa Karban. We know that an Isha who's a Zava Gmura, a full fledged Zava, so again she sees Dam, she's Tomei for 7 days as a Nida, after which she enters the Ziva territory. And Lach is, if she sees Dam for 3 days in a row, 3 consecutive days, she becomes a Zava, we call her a Zava Gmura, a complete Zava, a Zava Gedoyla. So then she brings a Karban. Just to count 7 a clean day, then bring a carbon. It's a very unique, unusual situation. How do we ever get to that? Zava Gmura de Maisa carbon, who brings a carbon? How can you ever get to that? What's the problem? Let's say her 3 potential Yimei Ziva are, let's say, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So let's say she sees them on Sunday. Halacha is, Monday she's called Shemeres Yom, she has to keep Monday, Keneged Yom, corresponding to Sunday. And then she sees them middle of Monday. And then the middle of Tuesday. That's not consecutive, because the first part of Monday was with Tahara. So that day counts as a day Tahara. And it's not considered 3 consecutive days. Because you intersected with a Mixas Yom Kikulei, which counts like a day of Tahara. Kiven the Chazi of Palga de Yoma. She sees Dam in the middle of one day, Iduch Palga de Yoma, Salka Lashimar. The first part of that day, Iduch Palga de Yoma means the other half, meaning the first part of that day until the Dam, Salka Lashimar, is considered a clean day, which sort of erases her record. You start fresh. You can never get 3 consecutive days of Ziva. So again, in order to become a Zava Gedolah, you have to have Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, Betumah. She sees Sunday. Okay. Now she goes into Monday. First part of Monday is clean. So even if there's dam going coming soon, that portion, that part of Monday is Salak L'Shima, counts as a day of Shimur. It's a clean day. And sort of cuts the system right there. And separates Sunday from Monday. It's not three consecutive days. Says the Gemara, okay, Iboy Yisema, one teretz can be, Deka Shafat Losot Losot Yemi Bad Adadi. She had dam going three straight days without interruption. So you never have any a portion, even a chelak of a day batara. Iboy Yisema, another pshat would be, Dechaz Yit Losot Yemi Samach Lishkes Achama. So she saw dam at the moment before Shkia until, you know, into nightfall. The lehavi shahus, there isn't a moment, there isn't an opportunity, there isn't time at the beginning of any day. Betahara. Because she ran straight into the next day, betuma. So you don't have an initiation of a yom tahara, the salak l'minyana, which can be counted as a mixa same kikuloi, as a day of tahara. Because basically she's ending and starting days betumas, even let's say in the middle of the day she's tar, mixas yom kikulei only works if you start the day in a certain manner, or you end the day in a certain manner. But if you start and end the day betuma, because every shkias, every nightfall was betuma into the next day, so you ended the day betuma, you started the next day betuma, and something happened the next time. You ended that day betuma, you started the next day betuma, so you never have an opportunity for mixas yom kikulei, where you've experienced tahara at the beginning or the end of a day. It's all enwrapped in tumah and considered three consecutive yimei tumah, which makes her a zava gedolah. Hadran Allah Chareni Nazir. Okay, let's do a brief recap. We had a Mishnah where a fellow commits to being a regular Nazir upon birth of his son, plus I want to be an extra long, extended 100-day Nazir. He starts counting those 100 days. If son is born within 70 and is enveloped in the larger number, he just keeps on going and counts the last, you know, portion of his 100 days for both commitments. But if his son is born past day 70, so it's sort of going to stick out, it's not enveloped, it's not overlapped, he has to stop, go to the sons, and come back to his own and finish his 100 days. Rav had a chiddush that you can take one day and have the first part of it count for one thing, second part count for something else. And now Mishnah, we didn't seem to see that. Rather, the Gemara found a shita of Yesi, who holds likewise by Tumah, you can take one part of a day and consider it Tar, the other part Tameh. And that would be Rav's source. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.